gospel lesson today is from John 14, verses 16 to 17 and 25 to 27. Friends, hear this word of the Lord for you. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, remind us of your presence here in this place and in our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So do you know what God said was the very first "not good" in all of creation? God continued to create and create, and each time God created something new, God said, "And it is good." Including when he made Adam, "And it is good." And then God said, "It is not good for him to be alone." Being alone was the first "not good" in creation. Loneliness is not good. We all know that, right? And we also know that it's one of those universal feelings. It's something that everyone faces at some time in their life. It knows no boundaries of age or gender or background or nationality, because humans everywhere can and do feel lonely at different times. One thing that has always touched me, one of my heroes in faith, is Mother Teresa. One of the things that touched me was several years ago when they were going through the process of sainthood for her. They found 6,000 of her letters. And in these letters, she wrote about something called the darkness. And for the book that was written, Mother Teresa, Come Be My Light, letters were included pertaining to her vows, her inspiration for ministry, and the darkness. The darkness was her term for feelings of loneliness and abandonment. Times that she did not feel close to Jesus. In fact, in a letter from 1961, Teresa wrote, "Darkness is such that I really cannot see, neither with my mind or my reason. The place of God in my soul is blank right now. I feel there is no God in me. When the pain of this longing is so great, I long and long for God." Over time, her spiritual advisor, Reverend Joseph Neuner, helped Teresa realize that her feelings of loneliness actually increased her empathy for the people that she served who were also very lonely. Ultimately, she wrote that she identified her loneliness with that of Jesus. In fact, many of the saints throughout the centuries of the church have had times in their lives that they have referred to as a dark night of the soul, times when they have felt all alone. What about you? What about us? When have you felt this loneliness? Are you feeling it even today? The truth is, even the most devout Christians experience loneliness. And thankfully, loneliness is a season. It gives way to light and peace. It's just so hard when you're in the middle of it, isn't it? Even Jesus experienced loneliness. Remember the times that his disciples actually fell asleep while he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, leaving him to feel so alone? Remember in John 6 when many of his followers heard what he had to say, and it says they turned away and left him forever. They couldn't take his teachings. We know that Jesus felt lonely because in Hebrews 4:15 it says, we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Loneliness, that fear of being alone or unnoticed, it's so universal that we will face it regardless of who we are, what we do, how much money we have, how many people are in our family, or how many Facebook friends we have. We will all feel lonely at some time, even the most gregarious and even the hermits who just want to be left alone. I feel it as a pastor sometimes, even in this church of over 100 beautiful people. I have felt it even in my very large, obnoxious family. But it's not God's best for us. None of us want to be alone and unnoticed. Even those who claim to be hermits or loners by choice, well, we see how some of them go to great, even deadly lengths to find that personal connection and no longer be lonely. Today, many people would argue we have an epidemic of loneliness because we are so connected on social media and so disconnected face to face with real people. We are also very mobile. Few people stay in one place for very long. How many times have you moved in your life? Can you remember how many times you've moved? I've moved 16 times, which is a little bit more than the average of 11. That's a lot of times to move. And when you think about it, that's really kind of alarming because every time people move, they lose contact with some of the friendships and it can cause loneliness. Businesses today, as we all know, they want people to be mobile, right? If there's a better job, a better opportunity, a new thing that comes up, they want you to just uproot your entire family and go. Some people say that loneliness comes from not having enough friends or family, but the truth is, loneliness does not come from being single or from a small family or having few friends, because the Bible assures us time and again that God can bring peace and joy to us regardless of how many people are in our lives, even if no other people are in our lives. Our spiritual ancestors have shown us this. And in fact, being alone with God is actually a good thing called solitude. The problem we face today is that loneliness is not solitude. Solitude brings peace and calm. We all need it. We need that quiet downtime with God on a regular basis for our mental and our spiritual well-being. Especially introverts, we really need that time to recharge, right? Loneliness comes from a place of fear. Loneliness is being afraid of being alone and unnoticed, forgotten, overlooked, no one really knowing you, which is why it's part of this Lenten study of fear and living unafraid. If someone asked you today what causes the most loneliness in 2019, what would you say? Age? Social media? The mobility? What about not knowing your neighbors or your community around you? There's probably truth in all of that and every answer you can think of right now. Sometimes loneliness comes from the way our own hearts work. In the mid-1900s, a British psychologist named John Bowlby developed an attachment theory, and he suggested there are three types of attachment that people have in their hearts. Secure, anxious, and avoidant. And he said that we often become one of those types in our early years. For instance, abused or neglected kids are more likely to be anxious or avoidant, and those who were raised in loving homes are more likely to be secure. But this does not mean that everyone who grew up in a difficult home are loners or detached. It means that people who feel secure have good relationships and healthier interactions and less loneliness. Anxious people tend to worry about people leaving them and loving other people more than them. Avoidant people have been so wounded that they just back up. They avoid interaction, relationships, which leads to more loneliness. If you had to think about it in your own heart and mind, what would you say is your attachment style right now, and how has it changed over the years? I feel like mine has changed with lots of God and church and counseling and my spiritual director. But we all know people who get stuck in some of these two attachments, like anxious and avoidant, right? People who promise things like, well, I'm going to leave them first, so they don't have a chance to leave me. People who say things like, well, I refuse to accept that love because I might get hurt. The good news is that these kinds of attachment, they can and do change over time depending on what happens to us and with us and around us, especially with our faith. We also know that some loneliness comes from loss and grief, which is also universal. We have all lost people we love, and we all grieve. So many in this church have lost a child, a spouse. They've gone through a divorce. They've prayed for the return of a prodigal child. Even losing a job brings loneliness. Even losing your health brings loneliness. I was reading this week about this issue and found that some of the most famous people say they were the most lonely. Albert Einstein said, it was a strange thing to be so famous and feel so lonely. Oscar-winning actress Anne Hathaway says, it's the worst thing about life. And Mother Teresa, she faced that loneliness in her ministry. Loneliness is a part of life. We can't avoid it. But we can believe that it passes with time, that it is a season. That's what we find when we look at people who experience loneliness and have that faith component. But when it becomes chronic, Hamilton writes in his book that chronic loneliness can have the same effect on our hearts as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It literally hurts our blood pressure, our heart rate, our overall health. And social media, the thing that's supposed to connect us to everyone, it can cause even more loneliness. In 2017, The Atlantic magazine published a study called Have Smartphones Destroyed an Entire Generation? You can answer that. They found that teens today see their friends every day 40% less than they did in the year 2000. Which is a pretty big drop. I remember seeing some of my friends growing up all the time, every day after school, running around the neighborhood, causing all kinds of havoc. But today, many kids are either very involved in certain activities or they're very plugged into electronics, which gives this sense of connection without an actual face-to-face connection. In fact, all the social media can leave us with this false sense of connection and community while we're actually moving further and further apart. Now, I will say social media is not bad or evil. It can be used as a tool of connection, but not as the substitute for it. Hamilton calls much of our social media overexposure an anxiety-producing machine. I wonder if you agree. Have you ever emailed or texted someone who didn't respond at all or didn't respond right away? And did you feel like that they're ignoring you or they're mad at you or they misunderstood you? Have you ever read a message from someone and thought, I cannot believe they just said that, only to find out later that they didn't mean anything negative? I've experienced this, haven't you? In fact, I know many of you have probably experienced this with me. Even though most of the time I'm busy and I'm trying to get from one message and one emergency to the next one and the next one, it's kind of like when they say on the automated machine, when you call, your call will be answered in the order received. Sometimes we just forget. Sometimes we just get distracted. And we don't mean to ignore or hurt anyone's feelings, but it's that thing about social media. It's different than seeing face to face the emotion, what's really happening right there. Another problem with the media is that when people feel that fear of loneliness, which is more common the more we rely on the social media, they tend to misinterpret even more all social interaction. So this unanswered call or text or email or even this face-to-face strange look, it becomes this huge deal. And it all comes from fear. Then there's a loneliness that comes from a lack of touch, a lack of human contact. Not everyone is touchy-feely, I know that, especially Frozen Chosen Presbyterians. Not everyone has touch as a primary love language either, but most people need some face-to-face time and some kind of human contact. Most people need a handshake, a hug, a gentle pat on the back to keep us healthy and not so lonely. And to me, this is the beauty of being part of a church family. It's the beauty of pastoral care. It's okay for us to come to church and be holding someone's hand, praying with them, requesting a hug, just placing a hand on their shoulder as they might pour out their heart to us. That is okay in the body of Christ. Yay! So what about this whole epidemic of loneliness? A few weeks ago, I mentioned Adam Hamilton uses all throughout his book this acronym of FEAR, F-E-A-R. And the F is about facing our fears with faith. So the question is, how do you use your faith when you feel lonely? Where do you go to in the Bible, for instance? Do you consider that the people in that book are your own family, your own ancestors who felt lonely and faced it with their faith? There are scriptures in there like Psalm 139, 7 to 10, which says, no matter where we go, God, you are there. There's James 4, 8 that says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. There's Joshua 1, as we heard today. I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you, so be strong and courageous. The E is about examining our fears with facts. This is really important. We live in this strange age where everything is like out there in the cloud. And so we need facts. We need to think about how we're feeling and examining things and say, is this realistic? Are people really ignoring me? Or am I just perceiving that? Are people really leaving me out, or am I just thinking that way? Facts are always helpful. And the one fact that as Christians we can never forget is that God is the one with us, no matter how we feel, lonely or not. The next letter, A, is about taking action. And if we're feeling lonely, the action we should not take is to withdraw, and that is our temptation. The action we need to take is kind of like the Nike commercials. You just do it. You just get out there and you re-engage with someone, some community, some group of people, maybe just one person. I once knew this lovely saint named Mary. She was an older woman with very poor health, and she could hardly ever leave her home very much. But she wrote the most beautiful, meaningful, handwritten letters of encouragement to people all over the country. It affected me so much, it's probably why I like to write you guys little notes. What actions can we take to combat loneliness? In 2014, an AARP survey revealed that retirees who are involved in a local church are 40% less lonely. What a great commercial for being part of a family of faith. But it means we have to be a part. Make the effort, show up, join ministries, serve, reach out, listen, be a friend so you can have a friend. In 2016, Great Britain created a helpline for the lonely called the Silver Line, just for people to call if they felt like they had no one else to talk to. And Adam Hamilton's church started something called the Silver Link, where they took church members to nursing homes to visit the people who never had a visitor. Do you know what they have found is the greatest indicator of joy and happiness in retirement? It is not the retirement account. It is relationships. It's love. It's not what we have or where we live or who we live with. It's that personal connection with someone, especially a family of faith. God always reminds us in the Bible that it's more blessed to give than to receive, and this applies to loneliness. If we want to overcome our fear of being lonely, we have to reach out to a friend in order to have a friend. In Matthew 9, 1-8, you remember this story about four friends who took their paralyzed friend, cut a hole in the roof, and dropped him down into the house so that Jesus would heal their paralyzed friend. Talk about some awesome people. But these stretcher bearers, as many have called them, they're needed in our world today too. In fact, are we willing to be a stretcher bearer? Are we willing to be a friend to have a friend? Proverbs 27:9 says, "Sweet friendships refresh the soul and awaken our hearts with joy. Good friends are like the anointing oil of God's presence." Ecclesiastes 4 says, "Two are better than one. They have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up the other." The final letter is R, releasing our fear and loneliness to God. How do we do that? We do it with spiritual practices. We do it with our faith. What about the breath prayers that I've been teaching with the kids? Have you tried any of those at home? What about looking up God's promises of being with us? What about praying for and with one another? That is so powerful. It's one thing for me to say, or you to say, "I'm praying for you." It's another thing to pray with you. What about reminding ourselves what the kids learned today? That the Holy Spirit is actually inside of us. And what about being a part of that body of Christ, the church, that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 12 when he says, "The members of the church have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, they all suffer together. If one member rejoices, they all rejoice together." Because we are the body of Christ and individually members of it, That is the beauty of church, and especially the beauty of a small church like ours, where we can have prayers of the people and know who is hurting and how we can reach out to one another. Hamilton says using facts and faith and action and release, all of it involves in investing in real people, in one another. It involves things like when you feel lonely, visiting the lonely. It involves things like when you feel lonely, be a part of a church family. And 9 times out of 10, when we are lonely, we have to make the first move. Actually, God already did that. 1 John 4:19 says we love because God first loved us, which all brings us back to our scripture that Jesus promises us today, that is closer to us than our own breath, that gift of the Holy Spirit inside of us, that Spirit that brings hope and help, counseling, advocacy, comfort. The Holy Spirit is God in us, not just a feeling that we have about God. It is God's presence. And yes, there are times that we will wonder, how do I don't even feel God's presence. But then we hang on to truth, that it is there even when we don't feel it, that God is always with us. Haven't you ever loved someone even when you didn't feel the love? Yes, that's how it is with us and God sometimes. Like Mother Teresa, we may feel some darkness alone, but then we hang on to the promise that God is there. So if you experience loneliness and you know that other people around you do it, do the same, what steps will we take to reach out? Paul reminds us in Romans 8:38, nothing in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And Jesus reminds us in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. We are never alone or unnoticed or abandoned. But with God's help, we can overcome the loneliness by reaching out and grabbing that hand of God. May God give us the courage to live unafraid. And to that, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Friends, please stand and join in our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed.